We were going in order of the malachas, so we started with Choris, Areya, Koitzer. We got up to Dosh. Dosh means when the tvua grows from the ground on tall stalks of straw, so the kernels of grain are oichel, and the stalks of straw, maybe it's Michael Behemoth, but it's not Michael Odom, so the people don't eat it. So basically it's psolos. So you have to detach the kernels of grain from the straw, and the detaching is usually done. You have behemoths jump on top of the tvua in days of the Tanoim. So with the assistance of the behemoth, I do the malacha, and it's considered my malacha. It's not a violation of Shvises Bamta. It's a violation of Shvises Bamta, you're not chayv misa. But if I do a malacha, then I'm chayv skila b'mezid, and then kores, if I violated b'shokeg, I'm chayv achatos. So if I harness the animal to do the disha, that's my malacha derai. So what is the disha? To detach the oichel from the psalus. They're naturally connected, it grows in the ground like that. So who are dinami? If you squeeze out the juice from Zeisim and Ovim, you don't have Oichel and Psolos connected naturally, you have Oichel and Mashke connected. The Rambam's opinion is that that's the basis of the prohibition of Chavola. The Gemara says that because an animal to bleed, because a human being to bleed, take blood, that's a malocha. So what malocha is involved in Chavola? So we said there are three different opinions. So Rashi says if you make a black and blue mark, that's Tzoveya. Tosis Tainus, what? He's interested in making a black and blue mark. He wants to take out blood. He doesn't want him. Why is that? So, ain't Svichel a Gufa. So Tosis is not happy with Rashi. So Tosis holds that it's Tilis Neshama. Why in Tilis Neshama? The person is still alive. The animal is still alive. That's not Shoichet in Tilis Neshama when the animal is dead. So Tosis uses an expression that appears in the Gemara in this context. Malikot Lekula, Malikot Lepalgo. You have a pasuk in Chumash, ki adam hu anefesh. The blood circulation is what keeps the organism alive. So if you cause a little bit of bleeding, malikot lekula, malikot lepalga, the blood keeps the animal alive, so causing bleeding, either causing a black and blue mark, is that dead blood, or if you don't cause a black and blue mark, you cause bleeding, so the blood leaves the circulatory system, that's no longer keeping the animal alive. So you no longer apply that pasuk. That's dead blood, so that's called the Tilis Neshama. The Achreinim say that we follow the Tosis because that's what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Malach involved in Chavola is the Tilis Neshama. But the Rambam doesn't. The Rambam is the one that usually follows Yerushalmi, is even many times against the Bavli. That's a problem because the Rif, the Rambam usually follows the Rif. Whenever there's a different Girsa, the Rambam always has the Girsa, so Rif. Ruba, the Rambam follows the Rif's psak. Once in a while he disagrees. So the Rif in the end of Erevin has a famous line where he writes, whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishami, we should paskin like the Bavli, but Hilchos HaKibasroi. He claims the Rif makes a statement, a historical statement, that the Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything that it says in the Rishami. The Rishami was edited by the Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the first generation of Amoraim, and the Talmidim were the second generation. And the Bavli was edited by Ravina Ravashi. That was quite a few generations later. So the Rif assumes that the Bavli was aware of everything that it says in Yerushalmi. And if there's a contradiction, it means that they considered, the Chachmei HaBavli considered everything that Yerushalmi suggested, and they decided against it. So then we paskin like the later. Amoraim, Hilchos HaKibasroi, he passed like the later. So this is a question, how did the Rif know that the Chachmei HaBavli knew, were aware of everything that it says in the Yerushalmi? Every so often, and not every so often, there are a few rare instances where the Gemara refers to an incident, a story, that never is written anywhere in the Talmud Bavli, and Rashi will tell you that the source is the Talmud Yerushalmi. So that's perhaps what the Rif was relying on. The Bavli is alluding to things in Yerushalmi. Obviously, they had Yerushalmi. So that's questionable. Is that really true? Maybe they didn't have Yerushalmi. Maybe they knew the stories that appear in the Yerushalmi. Maybe the stories were floating around in the air. There's a Sefer Agodah from the days of the Gemara that only has the stories, doesn't have Piske Halacha from Yerushalmi. Maybe they had that Sefer Agodah. But anyway, that's what the Rif writes.
Rabbi, did Rashi have the Rishalmi? I heard he never had the Rishalmi.
No. Once in a while, Rashi does quote the Rishalmi.
Okay, my mistake.
Tosis didn't always have the Rishalmi. Some of the Balei HaTosis used the Rishalmi. Some of them didn't have the Rishalmi. But they did, apparently, they didn't have the whole Yerushalmi. Rashi once in a while quotes the Yerushalmi. Yeah. So the Rambam's opinion is that Chovel is also told the Dosh, because he's separating the Mashke. It's not separating Mashke from Oichel, like squeezing out the grapes and getting grape juice, or squeezing out the olives and getting olive oil. It's not oichel from ashke, it's a dam from the organism. So the Rambam holds that that's also disha, separating the two are naturally connected. If you have, let's say, a shmata, and you wiped up, let's say, some wine spilled on the table, and you want to wipe up all the wine from the table, you absorb it in the shmata, then you squeeze it out. So that's a question. Is that also disha? You're separating the liquid, the wine from the shmata, but they're not connected naturally. It didn't grow from the ground like that. The dam in the organism, that's the way the animal grows. That's natural. And the juice in the olives and the grapes, that's where it grows from the ground. And the kernels of grain are attached to the stalks of straw. That's where it grows from the ground. So that's what Tosis says. Tosis raises the possibility maybe disha is only if you detach two things that are connected, different types of things. If you detach two things from each other that are naturally connected, that's the way it grew. But over here, if you absorb wine and a shmata, you squeeze it out, maybe that's not a violation of disha because it's not naturally connected. That's a question. That's a question. Let's say if you have peanuts in a shell and you take the peanuts out of the shell, so you're detaching the oichel from the psoilus. So it depends. Let's say you have grapes on a stem, and you pull off all the grapes, and you have a bowl. You have a bowl full of grapes. You pulled off all the grapes from the stem, throw the stem out. So that's takedisha. You're detaching the oichel from the psoilus. Or you do a lot of nuts. You have a lot of peanuts. You have a lot of nuts, and you take all the nuts out of the shells, and you have a bowl of nuts now. So that's takanisa of disha. But if you're eating one nut at a time, you take off the shell and you eat the nut. Take off another shell, you eat the nut. So that's derech achila. It's not called derech disha. If you do a lot at one time, then it'll taka be a shayla of disha. That's what all the poskim say. And milking, we spoke about milking a cow, so the Gemara assumes that it's a malocha. The Gemara never says clearly what the malocha is. The Gemara says, cholev is chai mishum mefarik. Mefarik is not on the list of the lamates of malocha. So what malocha is it? So there were six opinions. So the most popular opinion is that it's disha. Why is it disha? They have the cow is oichel, you can shech the cow and eat it. Or maybe it's not oichel, maybe it's a psoilus, maybe it's a machine that manufactures the milk. And the milk is naturally attached to the cow, and you detach the two from each other, so that's disha. So when you do disha, when you detach the kernels of grain from the stalks of straw, they're still mixed in together. Then the next step is going to be you're going to do borer. You're going to separate the two from each other. Sometimes you'll do burr biyad or bikli, and sometimes you'll do burr with the assistance of the wind. If the wind is blowing, so if you toss the whole mixture, you have kernels of grain which were just detached from the tall stalks of straw. So you throw the whole thing up in the air. So the heavy parts will fall down, and the wind will blow away the lighter parts. So that's a way, that's burr with the, that's zareh v'ruach misayato. The Gemara says that that's what the malach of Zorah is. Zayin vav resh hay. Zorah means if you toss it up in the air and there's a wind blowing, so that you're harnessing the natural force of the wind to accomplish borer. The Gemara says that there are three malachas that are really a repeat. Hayna zorah, hayna borer, hayna merakid. Merakid is if you have wine, and the wine has particles floating in it that are psoilus. You'd like to get rid of them. So you filter out the wine. So these three malachas are practically exactly identical. So the Gemara raises the question, why are they listed as three malachas? It should be one malacha. It should be borer. So the Gemara says, no. All the malachas are established based on, it's an afkamina, is it one malacha? Let's say I do several malachas to helam echad b'shegeg. If one violates an aver, it says in the Chumash in Parshas Vayikra, if a person violates an aver b'shegeg, he has to bring a korban chatas. So what aver did he do b'shegeg? What did he do? He cheated in business b'shegeg. He probably cheated in business b'mezid. He didn't do b'shegeg. He talked Lashon Hara b'shegeg. Probably spoke b'mezid also. And Lashon Hara, you're not chayv to bring a chatas for that. You only chayv a chatas dovish is done a kores. If the person would have done the aver b'mezid, would have been chayv kores. If he does the aver b'shegeg, then it's chayv achatas, and it's only ayidei maisa. Anafashas haosos have to be ayidei maisa. So the person speaks lashon hara, even if there would be kores. There is no kores on lashon hara. Even if there would be kores, it wouldn't be chayv achatas because an aver ayidei dibur is called an aver shem b'mais, a lav shem b'mais. We pask and there's no malchus for dibur and there's no chatas either. The dinim, the definition of meister for vis-a-vis malchus, alav shema meister, ain't loikim olav. And alav shema meister, in at chayv chatas, may not necessarily be identical. Velvela Soloveitchik has rise from the Gemara that it's not the same. The Gemara increases. Beginning of the first parak increases. It's not necessarily going to be the same klal. But they both have to have Halav sheyesh ba ma'isa. So the din is, what if a person is machal Shabbos, he didn't realize that today his watch stopped. He's sitting at home and he's doing malach on Friday, and he thinks that he has another hour till Shabbos. And the sun set already, and he didn't realize it's already into Shabbos, he's doing malach. So if he has shikigah Shabbos, he didn't realize today Shabbos, even if he did many malachas, the kosev and mochek and everything under the sun, he's only chayv one chatas because it's one shkogah. But if he knows that it's Shabbos, he's ignorant, he didn't know that this is a malacha, he didn't know that that's a malacha, he didn't know that 10 different things were malachas. So then the Gemara says, if it's don Shabbos, v'shigigas malachas, he knows today is Shabbos, but he didn't know about 10 different malachas, then it's chayv to bin 10 different chatos. What if he violated the same malacha many times? His watch, let's say, his watch stopped, is not a good mashal. He knows that it's Shabbos, and he didn't know that you're not allowed to write. And he writes, and he writes, and he writes, and he writes, and the din is at kais of shtayosius. If you write a word that has two letters in it, you're ready chayv. He wrote a thousand words with many letters in them. So if he repeats the same malacha many times over, he only brings the elam echad. He only brings one chatas. What if he did borer and zorib urok misayaito in merakeid? The three forms of borer. So the Mishnah says that you have three different chatas. So that's what the Gemara says. Why? It's exactly the same thing. It's three forms of borer. Gemara says, no, that's the halacha. Since all of the fact that there are 39 malachas is based on the fact that Chumash puts it together with malachas ha-mishkan, we assume that it means all the malachas that were necessary for the construction of the mishkan. There's this week's parasha, Truma Tetzave Vayakal Tikud, about building the mishkan. There are four sedras in the end of Chumash Mos about building the mishkan. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Bava Kamma, the Beis Haman Aleph, the Ovis were established based on Hach Dehavi B'Mishkan Chashiva. Any important activity that was involved in construction of the Mishkan is labeled as an Av Malacha. Whatever is sufficiently similar to the Malachas that were necessary for Asiyas HaMishkan are considered Toldos. So since these three, Borer and Zorib Ruch Misayaito in Merakev, all three were in the Mishkan, so that's why the Halacha declared that there are three different Malachas. How do you distinguish between the two? So apparently, Borer is Biyad, and Merakev is Bikli, you use an instrument, and Zorib Ruch Misayaito, you have a Koyach HaChamira boy. So that's perhaps how you distinguish between the three. But these are three different Malachas, yeah. That's what it says in the Bavli, that Zoreh is another Zion Vav, Reish Hei, not Zoreah. Zoreah is planting, helping things grow. But Zoreh, Viroch Misayato, is another form of Borer, but Zoreh is with the assistance of a Koach HaChom Yoreboi, and Borer is Biyado Bechli. Fine. The Ramo, in the end of Shin Yutes, the last line, in Shin Yutef, the Rama quotes a Chumre that's based on Yerushalmi. Harok, the last line in Shin Yutef, Harokek, if a person spits Beruach, the Shabbos, Beruach, Mefazer Harok, Chai Mishim Zora. The Maharil quotes this from Yerushalmi. That's a chiddush of a definition, that if you cause something, the rok is all the same. All the rok is the same. It's not part of it is ochel. Part of it is absolus, and part of it is ochel, and part of it is mashken. The rok is rok. It's all the same thing. So the Yerushalmi seems like it has a totally different definition, not like the Bavli. That Zorah just means when you scatter things with the assistance of the wind. The Gemara talks about there's a machlokes hatanaim on Erev Pesach when you have to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu. How do you have to destroy the chametz? Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa, and a minority opinion and the Rishonim paskens like that. They pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. That's why we're machma like that. Everybody burns the chametz. But mi'ikar din, we really pasken like the chachamim. The machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. So the pashta says it din should be like the yochid v'rabim alochid k'rabim. The din should be like the chachamim, that tashbisasa b'chol davar. You can fulfill the mitzvah of bir chametz ach b'yom rishon. Tashbisa yom rishon doesn't mean first day Pesach. It means the day before Pesach, the day prior to Pesach. So the mitzvah of destroying the chametz on Erev Pesach can be fulfilled tashbisasa b'chol davar, however you destroy the chametz. So the Gemara gives an example. Zorah, he af mefarer. Let's say I have a loaf of bread left over. So if I'm going to throw the loaf of bread in the toilet, it's going to clog up the toilet. It won't be able to flush. If I'm going to throw in it, I'm going to throw the loaf of bread up in the air, it's going to fall down on the ground. I didn't succeed in destroying the loaf of bread. So the Mishnah says, according to the Chachamim, that Hashbasasa b'chol davar, you can fulfill the mitzvah of destroying chametz, not necessarily with the sreifa, with any form of destruction. So it says, Af mefarer v'zol aruch, if there's an Erev in the city. So if you're going to grind up the chal into tiny little particles, that's actually tochen, in violation. One of the lamatas halachas is tochen. So the answer is tochen is only if you take a natural kernels of grain, and it's one kernel, you grind it up to tiny particles. But if you take a loaf of bread, it started off as flour. Then you made it into dough. And then because you poured in water and you made it into dough, so you made it into one gush, one big unit. But that's really naturally the way it was before. Artificially, it's one unit. But naturally, you already made it into tiny little particles. So that's a klal that the Rishonim have that ein toichen lacha toichen. Since you already ground up the particles of grain to make flour, even though then you made a dough out of it by adding the water, and now it's gufechad, it's gushechad, it's one unit, and you baked it, but that's the klal, ein techen achat techen, because now it's only artificially one unit. It's not naturally one unit, so that's by definition, that's not called tochen. So the Mishnah says that on Erev Pesach in the morning, if you want to destroy the chametz, even if Erev Pesach shecholi is b'shabbos, and you're not allowed to do any malachas, so the Mishnah says you can be mefarer v'zor lo ruach. You can grind it into tiny particles, a token, a token, so that's not a malacha. And then you can throw it, toss it up in the wind, and if the wind is blowing, it will scatter it all over the place, and that's how you destroy it. So from the Mishnah would appear that Mefarev Zola Ruach, it says you can do that on Shabbos. It seems that it's not a malacha. But that's the problem with this Yerushalmi. The Ramo quoted the Maharil, who quotes this Yerushalmi. Shalmi seems to have a different definition of the malacha of Zorah. So it just means if you use the assistance of the wind to scatter something, tiny little particles, either a liquid, you throw a liquid up and the wind is blowing, so it's going to toss it in all directions, or a person is rokeik, baruach, he spits in the wind, and the wind scatters the roke all over the place. So that's not like the Bavli. The Bavli gave the definition of Zorah, that is, it's a repeat of the malacha of Borer, and at the third malacha that's also similar is Merakei, when you filter out the wine. So that's what the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Sefer Alfei Menashe, in the Bir Halacha, Alfei Menashe, I think it's Rabbi Menashe Ilya. Rashi Ilya was a genius in the days of the Vilna Gaon. He used to have original pshatim. He was a malamed. People would hire him to teach their children Gemara. He was a big balkishman, but they would fire him all the time because he would give his own pshatim. Instead of teaching Rashi and Tosfos, he would give his original pshatim. And they say the Vilna Gaon used to enjoy his original biurim. And then later on, years later, the Vilna Gaon lived in the 1700s. In the late 1800s, the Vilna Gaon died the late 1700s. So in the late 1800s, when they printed the Vilna Shas, they put the Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the page. So they say that every so often, they found that the Menashe Ilya was mechaven to the Rabbeinu Hananel's pshatim. Every so often, Rabbeinu Hananel has a different pshat than the Gemara. So he wrote, and the Rashash quotes him every so often. He was a relative of the Rashash. He quotes him, Sher Besari, his relative, the Alfei Menashe. So the Alfei Menashe, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Alfei Menashe, has a different pshat than the Rishalmi, not the way the Ramah quotes it. Alfei Menashe learns differently. A person is rokeik in the Rishus HaRabim, and he succeeds in having the roke travel dalet amos away from where he is. They're not allowed to carry in the Rishus HaRabim dalet amos, but that's if I carry or if I throw it myself. Let's say I throw a ball, and it lands dalet amos away. What if I just throw the ball up and the wind blows? So ayachayim mishum havara mavad alanamis b'shus harabim or moitzim mishus ayochad b'shus harabim. If you did the malach of haitzol with the assistance of a karachacham yurabai, with the assistance of the wind, so that's what the Rishalmi meant to say. Harokek baruach dalanamis, not rokek baruach and the roch mefarzer the roke. That's a malacha of Zorah. That's not Zorah. The malacha of Zorah is only violated if you accomplished Borer. You have to do some Brera. Shalmi just meant to prove that just like Zorah v'ruach misayaito, the Avera, the malacha relates back to me, you can only violate an Avera, bikum liyaseh, has to be yeshbo maise. Alav sheim ha-maise ein loikim olo, but there's no din alav sheim ha-maise, you're not chayiv misa. You can be chayiv misa for alav sheim ha-maise, but by Malach HaShabbos has to be yesh bo maise. They say you can't violate Malach HaShabbos b'shei v'altas, has to be a yesh bo maise. So that's what the Rishalmi says, if I harness the koyach hacham yurabai of the wind, and the wind carries the rok dalaramas b'shus harabim, I'll be chayiv mishamava dalaramas. How do you know that you can be mitzaref if you harness the natural force that relates to me, and it's considered that I did the malacha? So that part you learn that from Zorah. Not that you chayev mishum Zorah. You learn that one detail from Zorah, that ruach misayaito, if you harness a natural force, let's say I bake, I cook with the fire, or I bake in the oven. So the bread wouldn't bake without the heat, and the flesh would remain raw. I can rub the flesh 1,000 hours, it's not going to get cooked. You have to have a fire. So by ofem of Ashel, that's by definition, that's the nature of the malacha, that the koyach, I harness the koyach hacham yurabai of the fire to accomplish the malacha. But here it's a chiddush that even if I harness the koyach hacham yurabai of the wind, that malacha relates to me, it's considered by maisa, like we said, disha. If you use animals to trample on the tvua, and the animals trampling detach, cause the kernels of grain to detach from the tall stalks of straw, and now they're all mixed in together, so that's my violation of disha, because I harnessed the animal, so the avera, the malacha, relates back to me.
Professor, how come there's no problem with wearing a mask on Shabbos? Isn't it similar to Merakeid, like you're using a utensil to separate good from bad, or you know, viruses from no viruses?
Yeah, keeping the virus away from myself. That I'm not separating. It was never prevented from coming near me. The only time you're over on Barad, if the ochel and the psolus, the two things, are betarubis. If the shnei minim are betarubis, it's not betarubis. There are viruses floating around. And I put clothing on my body that it shouldn't reach me. I don't think that's an issue. I think that's okay. So last week we started discussing a little bit this melacha of squeezing out the juice. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Shin Chof, that's all about the schita, that to squeeze out the juice from the olives to get olive oil and to get grape juice from the grapes, that's a told of dosh. That the Gemara says that's a told of dosh. Yeah, why is it? Because you have an oichel and a mashke that are naturally connected together. That's where it grew from the ground. In Minat Torah, it only applies to zeisim anovim, and with the Rabbanon, since they make grapefruit juice, there are companies where they make multi-billion dollar companies when they make orange juice and grapefruit juice and lemon juice and so on. So whatever they make juices from, so that's awesome, the Rabban. Why Manishtana? Why is only Zeisim Anovim is the rice and everything else is only the Rabbanon? So that's a question. So last week we started to discuss a little bit. There's a din of perishvias. We'll just repeat a little bit. The din of perishvias have peris that grow in Eretz Yisrael during Shnas HaShmita have kedusha. Kedusha is perishvias. And there's one word in the Chumash that tells you what's the nature of the kedusha. The word is le'ochlo. So le'ochlo means le'ochlo v'lo l'schora. You're not allowed to make big business. You're not allowed to sell it to make money. Le'ochlo v'lo lehefsid. Let's say you're not allowed to use perishvis. The peris that grow mishnas hashmita, you're not allowed to use it to bring a korban mincha to the Beis Hamikdash, because the mincha you make a kmitz and you're going to burn it. So that din is liochla below the menachas, because you're going to burn it. Or let's say, what else? Liochla below the melugma. I'm going to take perishvias and I'm going to make some kind of a medicine out of it that only sick people use. Healthy people don't eat. So that's considered hefsid. I'm ruining the perishvias. So then the Gemara has in brachas another din. If you squeeze out the juice from the peris, then the juice is no longer considered a pri. The only time the juice is considered a pri in a liquid form is zeisim anovim. So to squeeze out grapes or olives and make olive oil or grape juice in shnas hashmita from the perishvis, that's mutter, because it was a pri before and it's still a pri now. When you drink the grape juice or you use the olive oil, so you're eating the perishvis, that's called liochla. But if you squeeze out any other fruit, so kozman that you didn't, let's say apple juice or orange juice, so the apple juice or the orange juice or the grapefruit juice, fine. Originally when it was in the pri, it was an oichel, and now it's not an oichel. It's not a pri anymore. So that's considered that you destroyed the pri. So that's, we mentioned last week, that's a machlokes hatanaim, Rav Lezer, Rav Yeshua. So let's say you have orlo. So the Torah says that the peris of orla means if I plant the tree, sometimes fruits will not grow the first couple of years. But if fruits do grow in the course of the first 3 years after it was planted, so the fruits are also b'achil and also b'hando. You're not allowed to eat it. And if a person does eat it, so then he gets malchus. But this is only if he eats the fruit itself. What if he squeezes out the juice? So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So Rav Lezer is of the opinion that all the juices yaloike if you drink any juice, and we don't pass them like Rav Lezer, we pass them like Rav Yeshua. We rarely pass them like Rav Lezer because the Gemara says Rav Lezer Shamutihu. He was from the Beis Shammai, and he followed all the shitas of Beis Shammai, and they were in the minority. Bishul were in the majority. So we don't follow Rav Lezer, we follow the Chachamim, we follow Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion only the mashkem ayetzim and azesim and min ha'anovim, that's called the pri. So if you drink the grape juice from the orla tree, then you get malchus. Or if you eat the olive oil, let's say from the olives that are orla, I make olive oil and then I use it on a salad dressing or something, so then I'll get malchus. If I eat enough of the olive oil, I'll get malchus. Why? Because it retains the shame pri, even though it's in a liquid form. Or let's say to bring bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. He said, Hinei Vesis Reshis Pri Ha'adom Shen Asatali Hashem. You have to bring Paris. Which Paris? Design Minim Shen Ishtapcha Behem Eretz Yisrael. You have to bring Paris. So if you squeeze out the grapes and you make grape juice, or you squeeze out the olives, make olive oil, so then you yotze the mitzvah bikurim, by bringing the olive oil or the grape juice, because that's also called the pri. But if you have any one of the others, what do you have among the shivas aminim? You have dates and figs. So if you make or pomegranates, you make pomegranate juice or the other dates or figs, you make juice from that, that's not called a pri. Only the mashma yetzim and azesim anovim has the din of a pri. And you can bring them for bikurim, and if you eat it, and if you eat it, then it's all you'll get malchus. But on the other things, if you eat it, you won't get malchus because you're not eating the original pri. So that's a question. This statement that it says in the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch starts on Simen Shin Chof, that if you squeeze out olives and you squeeze out grapes, that's the malacha deraisa of disha, of detaching the oichel from the mashke. But if you squeeze out anything else, even though it's a multi-billion-dollar industry to make apple juice and to make grapefruit juice and to make a lemon juice and to make pomegranate juice, to everybody, they do it all over the world. So it's still, it says that's only an issa derabbanan. Since it's a common practice, so there's an issa derabbanan. Why is it not an issa deraisa? Why is it only considered only a mashkama yetzman azesmanam? So the Chazon Ish raises the possibility in the Sefer on Aruch Chaim, on the Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, I think it's Siman Mem, if I'm not mistaken. So he raised possibility. Is that connected with this? Why is it the din is that you only say Bori Pri Ha'etz on fruits that grow from the tree? And then the Mishnah says there's an exception to the rule. Whatever grows on the tree, say Bori Ha'etz, except for wine that you say Bori Pri Ha'gofen. If not for the fact that wine is so chashuv and they were misakan a separate bracha, you would have said bari piyoyitz. Why? So the Gemara says because it goes like Rabbi Yeshua, that the mashma yotzim min azesim and min anovim is dino kipri. So you would have said a bracha. If you drink other juices, you drink pomegranate juice, or you drink apple juice or orange juice, so then we say shahakol. You only say bari piyoyitz. You should have said bar peretz on wine. Well, we have even a fancier bracha, but the evidence is said bar peretz. Rabbi Kivega writes on the side of the Tosfos on that you base him an aleph and brachas. He quotes, you should be able to be yotzei b'di'evet because the Gemara says mikra din the bracha should have been bar peretz, if not for the fact they made a fancier bracha on wine, bar peagofen. And the Gemara says the same olive oil. The Gemara says, usually a person uses olive oil on a vegetable salad, you pour it in, or you cook with olive oil. So usually the olive oil is going to be a tofel. So you're going to say a bracha on something else. You're not going to say a bracha on olive oil. If you take a bottle of olive oil and drink like this, and that's not normal, so you don't say bari priya, it's on that. The question is, it means you don't say any bracha at all, or you say shahakol because it's not normal, that's a machlokes. Whereas if you drink olive oil like this, not as a salad dressing, ozuke mazikle, it's unhealthy. So that's cause to say why you don't say bracha at all, or zuke mazikle, or that's considered shaloka derech achila. So whenever you eat something, shalok derech achila, then you say shakla. So that's a machlokes harishayim, what it means. But the Gemara says, let's say you pour a lot of a person has a sore throat. In the days of the Tanaim, the doctors in the days of the Tanaim thought that sometimes for a sore throat, it's healthy to have a lot of olive oil, but to take olive oil like this, a cup full of olive oil, that's not normal. So they would make some kind of a salad, and they would pour an extra degree of olive oil on it, then they would eat it. So then, since you're really interested in the olive oil, you're not really interested in the salad. You have to have some food with it that it shouldn't be mazik, it shouldn't be unhealthy. But the ikar really is the olive oil. Then the Gemara said to say, bari pihoetz when you eat that. So the Gemara says, on the mashkem ayotzim and azesim and anovim, the brach is bar pihoetz, because it retains the shem pri, even when you squeeze out the juice, as opposed to the juice on the other fruits, that the brach is shahakol. So why is azesim and anovim singled out? Why are they different? So that's different Rishonim have different comments. I think they started it last week. Some Sharim say, because the Chumash singles out the Gantcha Tirashcha v'Yitzarecha, Tirash is grape juice, and Yitzarecha is Shem and Zayis. The Chumash only speaks about these two mashkim, never speaks about pomegranate juice and apple cider and orange juice. Chumash never talks about it. And other Rishonim say a different hasba, because when you plant the olives and the grapevine, That's what you have in mind. Everybody has that in mind. L'chatchila. So what they name, they're eating oranges and juice oranges. So if they plant, and Tropicana has many, many, many acres of farmland where they plant juice oranges. It was planted l'chatchila to make juice. They're not going to use regular oranges to make orange juice. They're going to make special juice oranges. So since the oranges were planted al das cane, or if they plant the pomegranates al das to make it into juice or so on, the apples, different kinds of apples, some of the apples are better for juice. So the Chazon Ish is of the opinion that then you say bar pihoitz. It's not a din that's specific dafket to zeismanam. It's a din whenever the fruit trees were planted al das to make the juice, then the bracha is going to be bar pihoitz. All over the common practice is that you say shahakol on apple cider and on orange juice and so on, except in Bnei Brak where they follow the Chazon Ish. It was more d'asra, so they follow the Chazon Ish, they'll say bar pihoitz. So the Chazon Ish raises a question, so let's say on Shemitah, you're not allowed to, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to make apple cider from the apples in Shemitah, because you're destroying the pre, and now you just have the juice from the pre. But according to the so that's what the Chayyadim writes. Chayyadim wrote a sefer, mentioned last, Chayyadim wrote a little sefer on all the mitzvot please barits. So he says you're not allowed to make any juices from the perish v'is, only from the zeisim anovim. You're allowed to make olive oil, and you're allowed to make grape juice and wine, because it retains the same pre, so it's not called hefsid. You didn't destroy the pre. And the Chazon Ish disagrees halacha l'maaseh with the Chayyadim. He l'shitas it. He holds that they say bar pihoitz on the apple side, because the apples were planted al das to make apple juice, and the orange juice that were planted al das to make juice out of it, and so on. So l'shitasa, he thinks that if you have any perishvias that were planted in Velachatchila, the apples and the oranges and the pomegranates were planted in Velachatchila before Shemitah, that they should use it to make juice. So then if you make juice out of it, it still retains the shem pri. He holds that it does retain the shem pri. And he would hold that you can bring it for bikurim also. In a reshes pri hadoma, supposed to bring bikurim in the form of a pri. So just like the mashkim ha'yotzim and ha'zeisim ha'nov may be brought for bikurim, so according to the Chazon Ish, you bring bikurim from the shivas aminim. So if you ever have pomegranate juice and the pomegranate tree was planted al das cane, the pomegranate juice company probably has also acres and acres of farmland where they have pomegranates planted specifically to make the juice out of it. So then the bracha will be, according to the Chazon Ish, bracha will be ha'etz. And you can bring the Kurim with it because it has the same thing. So that's what the Chazon Ish raises the question. The Chazon Ish didn't like to say like the others, like all the traditional poskim, that Zeisman Novim, the Mashma Yetzman, Zeisman Novim, Zagzeris HaKosim. But over here in Hilchot Shabbos, it sounds as if only Mashma Yetzman and Zeisman Novim is considered a combination of an Oichel and a Mashke together. Any other fruit that you squeeze out the juice, it'll only be anisa de rabbanim of disha. That you say it grew together, the oichel and the mashke grew together. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to squeeze it out mid the rabbanim to make orange juice and to make grapefruit juice and so on. That's mid the rabbanim. But the din minatar is only zeisim adam. So it sounds like zeisim adam has singled out a special din on the juice. Different from the other. So the Chazon Ish raises the possibility. Maybe it should be an Issa Deraisa. That's what they quote. The Mechaber writes that to squeeze out lemons is mutter. To make lemon juice is mutter. Aye. But it should be awesome in the Rabbanon. Just like it's awesome in the Rabbanon to make pomegranate juice and to make orange juice and to make apple cider. Because a lot of people do that. It's a minig b'kama mekaymes. So it should be awesome. With the Rabbanan, at least us with the Rabbanan to make lemon juice. Chabad says no, because nobody drinks lemon juice by itself. You only drink it if you mix it in with water. Mixing it with water, you put in some sugar. It is a business. People do sell lemon juice, lemonade, but you don't drink the lemon juice the way it is. That's what the Chabad says is mutter. Many poskim disagree. They say no. But at the end of the day, they do make lemon juice. And people do drink it, so it should be awesome in the Rabban. That's a shot. So some poskim hold, no. Since it became a common practice to make lemonade, and you have companies with it, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, lemonade. So if you squeeze out lemons, it became an Issa Deraisa Bizman Hazeh. The same thing with the pomegranates and with the apple cider, with the orange juice. According to some poskim, that should be an Issa Deraisa. But Shulchan Aruch doesn't present it like that. Shulchan Aruch presents it, the Issa Deraisa is only on Zeisim Anovim. All the other mashkim is only Midirabonah. We spoke about if you spilled some wine on the table and you take a shmata, you absorb all the wine, then you squeeze it out. Is that you have a combination of a mashke with a shmata? So is that also considered mechuba yachad? And you're detaching the mashke from the solid, So Tosfos says that can't be. Tosfos thinks that can't be an issa deraisa because it didn't grow like that. The only time there's an Issa Rabdisha is if it grew naturally, like the juice in the olives and the grapes, or the dam in the balchai, according to the Rambam, it grew naturally like that, or the ochal and the psolas, the kernels of grain and the straw, it grew naturally like that. But here, this is an artificial connection. I use a shmata and I absorb all of the mashke. So Tosfos thinks that that can't be a malocha deraisa. Disha is only if you detach things that were naturally connected. But then Tosfos makes a distinction that when you're squeezing out things, sometimes it's a tolda of dosh, and schit is a tolda of the dosh, and sometimes it's a malocha of malabin. Malabin is a different malocha. If you have clothing that's dirty, and you want to get the dirt out, and you wash it, so that's a malocha, that's a separate malocha, malabin. So Tosfos says malabein is only violated. Let's say I have a shirt, I have a white shirt, and there's a purple wine spilled on the table. So I put the shirt, I dip the shirt into the wine, and then I'm going to squeeze it out. So what are you going to say? I squeezed it out. That's malabein. That's derech lichluch. I made the shirt. I dyed it now. I stained it. There's a malach of tzaveya. Lacha Tzaveh is also, it doesn't apply, let's say a person is eating a meal and he wipes his face with a napkin, either a cloth napkin or with a paper napkin, so the cloth or the paper is going to get dyed. So let's say a person is bleeding and he puts a paper napkin to absorb all of the blood. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about that, and the Siman about Tzaveya. Is that called Tzaveya? So they say, no, that's not called Tzaveya. When you have ketchup on your face, or you have some schmaltz on your face, and you wipe it off on the napkin, and it stains the napkin to be red, or to be orange, or to be brown, whatever, that's not Tzaveya. That's if it's derech kilkel, derech lichluch, that's not called, by definition, that's not called Tzaveya. So the same is regarding Tosfos, the same as malabing. The Gemara says, let's say you have a dirty diaper. Now all the diapers are disposable. But when we had our children, it was a few hundred years ago, so the diapers used to be cloth. So in order that, and then they would wash out the diapers, they would pick up all the dirty diapers, wash them, and they would send it back to you after they cleaned it. So you don't want all the filth to get absorbed into the diaper. So a lot of people will have a bucket or a container with water in it, and then would throw the dirty diaper into the container so the dirt wouldn't get ingrained in the diaper. It would be easier to wash it out later if you're not going to wash it now. So the Gemara says on Shabbos, Shabbiyosu Zehu Kibuso, if you soak a dirty diaper in water, even though you didn't squeeze out the dirt yet, you didn't get it out, it loosens the dirt a little bit or prevents the dirt from getting ingrained in the cloth, so that's also malocha malabe. And then if you squeeze it out, if you squeeze out, that's how you wash clothing. You soak it in water and then you squeeze it out. You soak it, then you rub it, then you squeeze it out. So every step of the way is a violation of malabe. So if a person, let's say, is soaking his dirty clothing, yes, he has underwear, he has shirts, whatever, he's soaking the clothing in wine, purple wine, red wine, then he's going to squeeze it out. That's not going to help to clean the garment. That's going to make the garment all stained. So you can't say that that's malabim. You have to judge it. Maybe it's disha. Maybe it's told the disha. But it won't be malabim. Malabim is only if it makes it clean. So they talk about, let's say, the garment is dirty, and I soak it in white wine. I soaked it in white wine, and I squeeze it out. So the white wine will succeed in getting out the yellow wine. So the white wine will succeed in getting out some of the dirt. So that person says that will be an Issa. Sometime it will be an Issa Malabi. So that's what in this Siman they talk about that. When is it Malabi in Siman Shinchav? When is one in violation of Malabin? And when is one in violation of Schita, which is a Tolda Nidosh? It's very easy, let's say, if you have grapes, it's very easy to squeeze out the grapes. I remember Rabbi Schwab, Zichron Levrach, used to mention, he used to learn every day after Shacharis, for 2 minutes, he would learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he would make a siyam every year. We'd go through all the dinim and the kitzur that people have to know. So he said, sometimes people get stuck, they go out of town for business, and then they miss the last flight back, and they can't come home for Shabbos, and they're stuck in some village somewhere, and there is no liquor shop that sells kosher wine. So you go to the grocery store, you can buy a box of matzahs. Okay, so you have kosher matzahs, you can have lechem mishnah. What are you going to do to make kiddush? So if you got stuck, you have no bread, you can make kiddush on challahs, okay? But if wine is available, say you buy kosher wine. So you say, what's the problem? Go buy some grapes. Squeeze out the grapes on Erev Shabbos, and the Gemara says, you squeeze out the grapes and you make wine, and you can make kiddush on that. So that you're not allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos, that's the malacha. If you squeeze out grapes, that's the malacha deraisa. So because it's very easy to squeeze out the grapes, so the Chacham made gzeira derabbanan, it's in the Mishnayos, mashken shezova me'aleihem. In order to deter people from squeezing out grapes or olives and violating a malacha deraisa, so they made gzeira derabbanan. Even if the grapes oozed out juice by themselves, or accidentally, let's say you have a whole pile of grapes, a ton of grapes laying on top of each other, so the upper grapes are laying on the, sitting heavy on the lower grapes, it's going to squeeze out some of the juice on Shabbos. So the mashken shezovah me'aleihem on Shabbos is osur mid rabbanan to eat, gzeira shema yischok, because it's very easy to both people enjoy grape juice, so they may forget that today's Shabbos. They're not going to make a gzeira derabbanan that the person may build a house on Shabbos. To build a house is it's a major job, and he's going to remind himself before he gets to build a house when he starts moving the ladder and the beams and the nails and the hammer. He's going to remember that it's Shabbos. But Tosfos says to squeeze out the grapes or to pluck off the fruit from the tree that made gzeira derabbanan. Peres hanoshim, you're not allowed to eat. If the pears fell down from the tree on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat it. Gzeira shema yala miitlosh. And they made a gzeira derabbanan. If the juice oozed out by itself on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it. Gzeira shema yischok. Why is that? So Tosfos says, because it's an easy malacha to violate. Oda b'chapa yivla. I know people enjoy the juice and people enjoy the freshly pricked fruits, and they'll forget that it's Shabbos for a moment, and they'll pluck it down. They'll do a malacha. It's not like building a house. You have to make so many hachonas or remind himself that it's Shabbos. This he can violate b'shegig without realizing it. So the medik zera derabban, you're not allowed to drink mashken shezov. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mishnah is that there's a distinction. If it's mashken shezov from zeisim v'anovim, even if these olives or grapes are for eating, you're not into, this is not for juice. These are not olives that are oimed to make juice out of it. And they're not grapes that are oimed to make grape juice out of it. I bought grapes and I bought olives, I'll ask to eat them. So still, since squeezing out grapes and olives is an isa deraisa, so the gzera derabbanan, the mashken shezov applies, even if the zeis manom are oimed lachila. But if you have oranges, or you have apples, or you have pomegranates, and the juice was that by itself, so then we paskin the mishnah, it was a distinction. If the pomegranates and the oranges are for eating purposes, they're not for juice, they're not juice oranges, they're eating oranges. You didn't plan to make juice out of it, you're planning to eat it. So it's not oimed l'schita. So it doesn't make sense to make a gzeira shem b'yischok. It's not going to be soicheded. This is not for juice purposes. So then there's no gzeira. But if the pomegranates or the apples or the oranges are omid l'schita, omid l'mashke, then you have gzeira d'rabbanan, gzeira shem l'yischak. That's a din of mashkin shezobu. Yeah, we usually assume, like the Gemara, the first daf in Beitza, that these two gzeiras be separate. We spoke a little bit about this already. There's one gzeira d'rabbanan mashkin shezobu, and there's another gzeira d'rabbanan on peris anoshim, the fruit that fell not from the tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, that you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says there are two separate gzeiras, and Beitza shenolda b'yontif, Beitza shenolda b'shabbos or b'yontif. There were four different explanations why b'silo b'shamay hold you permitted to eat Beitza shenolda b'yontif, and we pass on like b'silo. This is one of the rare cases that halacha that b'silo is more machmer than b'shamay. Usually b'silo is the mekel and b'shamay is the machmer. And the Gemara said there are three. The Mishnah has three dinim put together. They all have to do it malacha and yontif, and beishamai is lahokel and beishilal is lahachmer. So do we pass on like beishilal that the beitza shenolda b'yontif may not be eaten? So Gemara has a question: my time in the beishilal, what's wrong? Why should it be us? So the Gemara has four explanations. So two of the explanations are that beitza shenolda is part of the gezera mashkin shazavu. The other one says wrong: beitza shenolda is part of the gezera of peiros hanoshim. So the Gemara clearly assumes that they're two different gzeiras. It's not one and the same gzeira. Whenever malacha nasis ne'eleha. And the Ramban, we mentioned the Ramban in the beginning of Ein Sodden, the third parak in Beitza. Ramban and the Melcham is on the bottom of the page in the rear. Ramban there is of the opinion that Peres HaNosh Mashkashazavu is one big gzeira the Ramban. That's how he learns the Gemara in the third parak. The first daf in Beitza says not so, that they're two separate gzeiras. So Ramban learns that the Gemara later in Beitza holds that it's one big gzeira de Rabban. So that we spoke about a little bit. Yeah, this din, the mashkin shazavu, is also to drink the juice. Let's say you have grapefruits and they want to make sometimes they serve as the first course in the meal. They cut a grapefruit in half, and then they use a knife and they separate the flesh of the grapefruit from the peel. So when you're cutting it, the grapefruit has so much juice in it, so some of the juice is going to ooze out by itself. So that's not an issur. You're not interested in squeezing out the juice. So that really has the status of mashkin shezavu me'aleihem. And the grapefruits were not, in my house, the grapefruits are not made to make juice out of it. They're not making grapefruit juice. The companies do that in the factories. We are going to serve the grapefruit in the beginning of the meal, as the first course in the meal. So that's mashkin shezavu me'aleihem b'shabbos or b'yontif, and it's not oimid l'mashke, it's oimid l'achila. So you would be allowed. You don't have to spill out all the juice. You're allowed to eat that juice. Same thing. Let's say you are peeling an orange. You're peeling an orange, you're cutting it into sections, and when you cut it into sections, so some of the orange juice spills out on the plate. So you have to spill out the orange juice. If you want, you can sip up the orange juice. That's called mashkin shezavu me'aleihem. And the oranges were not oimid the mashke, it's oimid l'achila. So then the gzeira d'rabban doesn't apply in such a case. So here the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din, that it's the din in the Gemara, the beginning of Beitza. So the Gemara, let's say Beitza shenolda b'yontif, according to one opinion, is also because of mashkin shezavu. So then the Gemara says, Nsara b'acheres, if the Beitza shenolda b'yontif gets mixed in, many Beitza shenolda on erev yontif. And then I know there are one or two Beitza shenolda b'yontif, and it's a taruvus, I don't know which is which. So even though you have raiv against the Beitza shenolda b'yontif, it's considered a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and there's a din mei rabbanan that davar sheyesh matirin is not potter. If you wait till Shabbos is over, the beitza shenolda will be mutter. Beitza shenolda is only also on Shabbos. Soon as Shabbos is over, soon as Yom Tov is over, it'll be mutter. So that's the din that the mashkin shezavu, even if it gets that's usher, whenever we have grapefruit juice, that's mutter if it oozes out because it oozed out by itself, and it's not oimid l'shtir. It's not oimid l'mashke, it's oimid l'achila, so there's no gzeira. But if you would have, let's say, wine, mashkin shezavu me'aleihem by zeisim anovim, even if it's oimid l'achila, is also. So if that yayin, or if that Shemen Zayis gets mixed in with other Shemen Zayis, even if it should be Bapa Bereiva B'Shishim, the din is that it's a Dov Sheesh L'Matirin. Just wait till Shabbos is over and it'll be Mutter. The Dov Sheesh L'Matirin is not Bapa. So then the Shulchan Aruch quotes Akula, not all the Rishayim agree. Shulchan Aruch quotes Akula both here in Hilchas Shabbos and in Hilchas Yontif and in Yerideya, they have this Kula. But what if you have a ton of grapes piled on top of each other, and before Shabbos began, before Yontif began, a lot of juice already oozed out, either because you have a heavy thing on top of it that squeezed out a lot of juice, or because just the weight of the grapes laying on each other, a ton of grapes, so it causes a lot of juice to come out. So in the course of Shabbos, a little more juice will come out, but there's going to be roiv of the juice, I know for sure. Roiv of the juice already came out on Erev Shabbos, and a little bit of juice came out on Shabbos. So then I say it would be bottle bereiv. When do you say that Dovah Sheesh Matirin is not bottle? That's if I have a Dovah Sheesh Matirin, that's Usr, and then it falls into a Tarubis of Heter. So then I say Dovah Sheesh Matirin is not bottle. But here is Bolo Oilem the Tarubis. Here I had the grapes piled up, or I had the olives piled up in a stack with a heavy thing on top, a heavy weight, and let's say 25 units of juice or grape juice already came out before Shabbos. Now in the middle of Shabbos, another unit came out. But I know I have roiv against what came out on Shabbos. So since the juice that came out of Shabbos from the very first second that it came out from the grapes was boloil and bitarubis, so then it is bottle. Why is there a difference whether it first was osa, then it fell into the heter? Or when it's bolo ilam, it's bolo ilam tarub. So when we learned Yeridei, Rav Soloveitchik explained that l'chor the Shulchan Aruch is going with the not all the Rishayim agree. There's a Tesis in Perik Merubim, Baba Kama of all places, and Daf Samach Tes by the Kolan Nilkat Mikerem Zeh Yehem Chula L'Alamoyas Halolu. The Gemara there talks about a Mishnah Maseches Maisa Sheni. So the Tesis there, Tesis doesn't agree with this Psak and Shulchan Aruch. The Shita Mekubetzes disagrees with Tosfos, and the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Shita Mekubetzes. When they say Dov Sheesh Matirin Loi Batul, that's if the Dov Sheesh Matirin was Osir, and then it fell into a Tarubis. But if when it Mitchil Osir, it was Bal Olam Tarubis, then it is Batul. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik explained there are two dinim in Roiv. There's one din, if an Isir falls into a Heter, and you have Roiv Heter, Miot Isir, Eino Niker, then it's Mevatulet. And then there's another din, if it's Baloilam et Tarubis, that the Tarubis prevents it from becoming Osir. So the Chumra of Dov Sheesh Matirin only applies if it already is Osir, then you can't say Bitl Bereiv knocks out the Isir. But to prevent it from becoming Osir in the first place, that we paskin like that opinion, like the Shita Mekubetzes and Perik Merubim and Bava Kama. We don't follow the Tosfos. Tosfos Beferish is not like this, that even if it's Baloilam et Tarubis, it's still going to be a Dov Sheesh Matirin and it's Loi Batl. Yeah, that's a shaila. This din, Dov Sheesh Matirin of his Bala Olam Tarubis. How much of the Tarubis do you need? You have to have Roiv or you have to have Shishim? The Pashtun says Shishim only, Shishim, the real din of Shishim is when you have Min Mishena Minim, when you have Macholos Asurais, and the Iser has one flavor and the Heter has a different flavor. It's Min Mishena Minim. So then it's nice and tam. So usually most food, when you're going to have shishim of heter against one unit of iser, it will not succeed in giving the sinas tam. So that's why the Chachamim established, even by mim and mino, but everything has the same taste, everything has the same flavor, the made there, mim and mino, the mim and mino, that by lach balach, that you need shishim, even by mim and mino, xer, or the mim and mino. By mim and mino, you need it because that's the din of tam kiker. Because up until Shishim, it's got to be nice and done. But the Pashto says that the din of Tam Ki Iker only applies when you're talking about Macholos Asuras. Here it's not really Macholos Asuras. They never declared, Alpi Pashtas, they never declared Mashkin Shezova. They declared it as non-kosher food. No. Let's say, there are dinim, Ayisoshos, Amavashal B'Shabbos. If he cooked food on Shabbos, he's not allowed to eat the food. That's a penalty with the Rabbanim. That's not really a macholas asur. That's a knas min derabbanan. If you allow people to eat the food, then the next thing you know, people will cook it b'mezid on the make believe that it happened by itself. Then they believe that that they forgot. They'll put on an act, make believe that they forgot. So they made a penalty with Rabban, you're not allowed to get on the light. But that din, you're not allowed to benefit from a malacha. Let's say you turned on the light. You forgot that today Shabbos turned on the light. You're not allowed to get on off in the light. Or if the Nochri turned on the light. Or the Mishnah has an example. The boat landed on Shabbos, and they didn't have like we have. Whenever the plane lands, so all the planes are built in such a way that they can take, they have staircases and they have a sleeve that the people can walk from the airplane in a tunnel to get into the airport. The tunnel fits all the planes. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have one size for everything. So when a boat would land, they didn't have an airplane. So when a boat would land, it would come to the dock. So somebody on the dry land had to build a ramp that everyone should be able to go up. So the Mishnah has a case. A boat landed on Shabbos and the chief rabbi was on the boat. And a guy built a ramp that covered the chief rabbi. So he built it on behalf of the Esau, so the Esau is not allowed to get any benefit from it. If he didn't know the chief rabbi was there on the boat, and he built the ramp for all the people, all the passengers to get down and arrive at the passengers on Nachrim, so that's considered Nachri Shas and Malach Mishnah Nachri. But if the right of the people on the boat are Yisraelim, or rove the people are Nachrim, but he knows the chief rabbi is here, and he wanted to be Mechavet the chief rabbi, then he did the Malach of Yisrael, then you're not allowed to get Anoah from it. But it's not a din of Macholas Asuras. You're not allowed to go on the ramp. But the Nachri turned on the light, you're not allowed to benefit from the light. If you cooked food, you know, you reheated the soup, you're not allowed to get benefit. But it's not a Chepsa Macholas Asuras. Din of Tav Kiyika that you need Shishim, is only by Macholas Asuras. Take, for example, Bisholachum. A Nachri cooks food, so you're not allowed to eat it. So in the Tshuvas Haran, Abenez has a whole simon about this Tshuvas Haran. Tshuvas Haran, he quotes a machlokes of Rishonim. What's the nature of the prohibition of bishalakum? Is it that they declared that if a nochri cooks the food, it's macholas asuras? Or no? If I'm going to eat food cooked by a nochri, next thing you know, I'm going to marry the daughter of the nochri, in order to have lifetime kest, and I'll be able to enjoy such delicious food for my father-in-law, so it may lead to intermarriage. That's what the Gemara says. The Chachamim were concerned, Mishum Chasna, so that's why they prohibited Bishalakum, that's why they prohibited Pasakum, and that's why they prohibited Stam Yenam, because they're afraid it'll lead to intermarriage. So they made Xerim and Rabbanon, that's the Shaila, did they declare that Bishalakum is Macholas Asuras? It's Treif, or did they declare it's not Treif? If you eat bishalakum, it's considered as if you're dancing with a nochris, and dancing and kissing a nochris is going to lead to intermarriage. It's like kissing a nochris. Nafkamina is, do you need shishim or not? So the Ran quotes a machlokes harishonim, and we pask, and you don't need shishim. The Mechaber and the Ramah, they both say you don't need shishim. Why? Because bishalakum is not macholas asuris. It's considered as if it's a hiskarvus with the nochris, if you're dancing with the nochris. So that's the shaila over here. By the Mashkin Shazavu, you're not allowed to drink Mashkin Shazavu because Shem Gzeri Shema Yischot. You're not allowed to eat Paris on Noshim Gzeri Shema Yala Yitlosh. They made Gzeri Derabon. So you're going to say that they declared it as Macholas Asuras? I don't know. The Pashtas didn't declare. They said, we're afraid if we'll allow people to drink Mashkin Shazavu. Next thing you know is they're going to squeeze the juice out on their own. Or they're going to, if you'll allow Paris on Oshim, they're going to pluck off the fruits without thinking. So it could be that you don't even need Shishim over here. It could be that Rav is enough. You don't always need Shishim. You only need Shishim. That's what the side of the Ran and the Chuz. You only need Shishim when you're dealing with Macholas Asuras. Here it could well be that this is not Macholas Asuras. Yeah, we said that to milk a cow where there were six sheetahs, what the Gemara says that there's a Malachim. Gemara doesn't say explicitly that it's a malacha derais, a malacha derabban. That's what Tosis discusses. If milking a cow is because of disha, that's the main shita. Milking a cow is disha because you have the milk and the guf of the behema connected naturally, and now you're detaching the mashke from the behema. He said there's six shitas, but the main shita was that it's disha. So And the Gemara says, "Ain disha le begidule karka." There's no disha by non gidule karka. So that was the shalom. Maybe milk and a cow was only disha mid the rabban, because behemoths are not gidule karka. But Tosis points out that the din is when you bring Maaseh Sheni money to Yerushalayim, the Chumash says, when asata kesa ba boka ba tzona ba yayin ba shecha, you have to buy flesh, boka ba tzona ba yayin ba shecha. So the Gemara says, what's the previ gidule karka? It's a klal apart to klal. So what are you allowed to buy? You have to buy gidule karka. So the Gemara assumes that a behema, ba boka ba tzona, is considered gidule karka. So then again, it's a gidule. When you get the Maaseh Sheni money, when you pay the Maaseh Sheni money, you can bring the money to Yerushalayim. You can buy Baka Batzana B'yayin HaBashecha. So there I consider Behema as Gedule Karka. What about for the Melocha Abdisha? Also the Behema is Gedule Karka. So milking a cow is an Issa Deraisa, Disha. But he's saying, no, milking a cow is not Gedule Karka. Maybe milking a cow is only the Rabbanim. So that's a discussion. The Rambam writes beferish that it's a malocha deraisa, and the Magen Mishnah says the Rambam apparently thinks that a behemah is called gedule karka because we paskan like the Tana, ain disha lebi gedule karka, and Tosis raises the possibility that maybe it's only disha midrabbana. Yeah, so you have another case where you have a dovish yesh lematirin where it's nolad b'taruis. Rabbi Kiveger raises the issue. There's a din you're not allowed to shecht. Also, there's benar lo yishchatu b'yoyim echot. So let's say I have a mother in a vlad. Also, there's benar. I don't remember which one is the mother. I shechted a vlad today. I shechted a young calf today. On yontif, let's say. I shechted a young calf on yontif. And it doesn't have to be yontif. I shechted any day of the week. I shecht the calf one day, so I'm not allowed to shecht the mother today. But I don't remember which one is the mother. It's one of these. They have 10 behemoths, and one of the 10 behemoths is going to be Osir Ez Benov. I don't know which one it is. So there's a din. So min HaTorah, it should be Batel Bereif. But min the Rabbanan is a din, Balechayim Chashivi V'loi B'teili. Balechayim have Chashivas. It doesn't lose it. The whole idea of Batel Bereif is that the meat loses its identity in the conglomerate because it's bottling and the rest of them, so it loses its identity. But if you have a balechaim chashivi v'loy b'teili, you have a berias chashivi v'loy bottle. If you have a dovishav minyan, it's not bottle. Chaticha ruilis kabin is not bottle. It could be that b'nei odom are not bottle menater. That's what the Chavis does, right? B'nei odom are not bottle menater. So a whole bunch of things that are not bottle. So the shaila is, I shechted the vlad today, and I know that the mother is one of these 10 animals. If I wait till tomorrow, I'll be allowed to shecht all of the others. There won't be any issue of us, it has been all. So, should I say, Balechaim chashivi v'loy b'teil, I can't shecht any of the other 10 animals? But he say, no, when I shechted the vlad, the iser on the mother was b'loy l'metarubis. Because before I shechted the vlad, I was already not known which one of the 10 animals was the mother. I know one of them is the mother of this vlad, but I don't know which one. So just like by Mashkin Shezavu, the din is that it's a dovish yesh lamatir and it's not bottle. But if it's baloy lamatarubis, then it is bottle. So maybe the same should apply to balechaim chashivi v'loy b'teili. I know that one of these 10 animals is going to be an iser avosav ezbeno. But I don't know which one it is. And maybe I should say, the minute that I shechted the vlad, the mother is already baloy lemetar. The iser is baloy lemetarubis. From the very outset, before I shechted the vlad, I didn't remember which one was the mother. I know it's one of the 10 animals. I don't remember which one. All the behemoths look the same to me. So that's, Rabbi Kivege quotes, that's a pilpul and achrenim. Why should there be room to distinguish? Rav Soloveitchik explained. The way he explained, why is Dovish Yesh Matirin? Why do you say if it's Bala Olam Metarubis? Why do you say that it is Batl? So he said, because there are two dinim of a Roiv. There's one din, if you have an Iser and it falls into Roiv, the Roiv cancels the Iser. Roiv is Mevatl Iser. Then there's another din that if an Iser is Chal on something that it's Bala Olam Metarubis, so then the Tarubis prevents the Iser from being Chal. So that's by Medvar Mamurim, that's by Dovish Yesh Lamatirin. You have a Tarulis, it's all blended in together, but Dovish Yesh Lamatirin, Asher Tachlein Abisa, Tachlein Abahetar, don't rely on the Dittl Biroi. But if it's but there is a tarubis, so the raif prevents the iser from being chal. It's not mevatel, it's not being mata the iser. It can't be mata the iser on a davar sheyesh mater, but it can prevent the iser from being chal. But balechaim chashim v'loy b'teili means that the rabbanon are treated as if it's not a tarubis. Is it balechaim is a davar chashiv v'imid b'fnei atzmai? Balechaim chashivi. A davar chashiv does not lose its identity in the conglomerate. So it's not considered as if it's the tarubis. If there's no tarubis at all, not only can it not be mata the issa that it already was chal, it can't prevent the issa from setting in because it's not the tarubis. Balechaim chashivu lo betel, it's not considered the tarubis. So that you explained, there's a bir agro in Yeridei Simikuf Yud where he answers a certain kasha that the shach asks over there. Shach over there quotes his father gave a teretz on the steer and the Rambam. And so the Bir Agro gives a better teretz. His father gave a teretz, but the Bir Agro gives a lamdash teretz. He said this distinction by davar chashuv chaticha ruy l'skaved is not bottle means that the rabbana there's no taruvis. It's aimed b'fnei atzma. But if you have, let's say mishum chumah d'avod zar, something is not bottle, it is chumah d'avod zar. You machme more, but d'avod zar is b'taruvis. Or davar, let's say davar sheish matir, and there is a tarubis, just that atcha tachlana b'isa tachlana b'hata. Why should you be mekel? So the two, from the things that are not bottle, sometimes they say it's not bottle. Chumer davar izara, we don't allow davar izara to be bottle. Davar sheish matir, and don't use it today based on bittul. Wait till tomorrow. You won't have to rely on bittul. So your decision to eat it today is a violation of the emavat nisa l'chatchila. You don't have to eat it today. You have enough fruit from today, so wait till tomorrow. Don't decide to eat it today. But by balechaim chashivu v'loy b'teili, that the pshat is that balechaim is zaymid b'fnei atzma. The rabbanon declared that it's not a tarubis. Not a tarubis. It doesn't have the second denidu. The tarubis prevents the yisa from setting in. So these are some of the ideas that the poskim discuss regarding these dinim. Then in the Shulchan Aruch they have about squeezing out the shmata. They talk in the Shin Chof, you're not allowed to squeeze out the, if I have a shmata that has a wine absorbed in it, you squeeze it out, that's a maloch. So the question is, sometimes you have a jug of beer or wine and you don't have a spigot by the faucet, you don't have a thing to open and close, you have to stick in a shmata. You have to push in a shmata in the opening over there. When you push in the shmata, so you go, by definition, you're going to be squeezing out some of the oil or some of the juice that's absorbed in the shmata. But you're not really interested. You just want to plug up the opening that the liquid won't flow out from the faucet. But you know it's a psikreshe, but that's a psikreshe dala nichale, because when you push in the shmata into the opening of the faucet, into the spigot there, so some of the juice or some of the oil will be lost. It'll fall on the ground. So that's what Taisus quotes. That's a machlekes between Taisus and the Oruch. What's the din of psikreshe dala nichale? There's a din of dobshein in miskavein, is a machlek of satan. Dobshein in miskavein means I'm doing a pula amuteres. I know in advance that it may or may not lead to a pula hasura. So that's a machlek of some epasmalik reb shimon. Dobshein in miskavein is mutter. Not only in Shabbos, mutter and kol atar kula. I'm doing pula amuteres. One example the Gemara has is I want to move the furniture on the soft earth, on the ground. I don't have a pavement. I don't have a tile floor. I have a dirt floor. So I want to move a piece of furniture. So it could be, I'm not sure. The furniture could be very heavy and the earth could be very soft. And it could be that by moving the furniture, dragging it on the ground, I may make a charitz in the ground. If the person makes a charitz, so that's a malach, a chayfer guma. If it's babai, it's a chayim shum boine, and basodi, a chayim shum choresh. Two different malachas. So if you dig a hole, babayis, it's the beginning of binyan. You can dig a hole, you can put a pole there in the hole, you can make a whole binyan. And if you dig basada, you can plant something over there. So, achoyfa guma babayis chay mishum boinem basada chay mishum choresh. So the shaila is, are you permitted to move the furniture? Moving furniture, it's not a malacha. It's not such heavy furniture. It's not a malacha. Even if it would be heavy, it's a tovah sheyesh batircha, it's shabbos and shvos. It's an issa derabbanan, but it's not a violation of any of the malachas. Let's say the fellow wants to move the furniture, he knows that that's a pula muteris to move furniture. He knows in advance that may or may not make a charitz. So what's the din? So you really should have said, if it may lead to a malacha deraisa, sveka deraisa luchomer, if the worst that can happen is going to lead to an issa derabbanan, it should be sveka derabbanan lekula. So nobody says that. Rashi and Yuma says that that shita's rebuted. The Dovashen is Kabin is also only if it's a deraisa, if it may lead to a derabbanan, so sveka derabbanan lekula. Rashi claims that's rebuted, but we don't paskin like rebuted. We pass like Rav Shimon, Dovah Sheni Miskaven is Mutta. So that's a question, why does Rav Shimon allow? Why don't you say Sofik Deraisa L'chomer? So since he's not really interested in doing the second Pu'ula, he's only interested in moving the furniture. He's not at all interested in making a Charitz. So I say that's making a Charitz, I label it as Misasik. Misasik on Shabbos is Het Degomer. It's not even called an Is. Fine. But what happens, it just rained, and the earth is very soft, and the piece of furniture is very heavy, and it's about does that by schlepping the furniture, I'm not going to pick it up, by schlepping the furniture on the ground, by draining it, I'm going to make a charitz, it's a psikration. But it's a psikration de la nichale. My earth is going to be ruined. It's a mekalkil. He's messing up his house, or he's messing up making a charitz where he doesn't want it. So that's a machlekes Taisus in the Orach. So the Orach holds that psikresha de la nichale is mutter, and the Taisus disagrees. Taisus says, psikresha de la nichale, the maximum you can say is that it's mutter menatar because it's a malacha shen svicha legufa. Because he's not interested, he's only interested in moving the furniture, not interested in making the charitz. So even if he makes the charitz, he's not going to gain any benefit from it. So that's called the malacha shen svicha legufa, according to Taisus' definition. A malacha shen svicha legufa. He did a malacha not for the tachlis that it was done in the Mishkan. All the malachas are learned out from the Mishkan. He's doing a malacha. You make a charitz, you have to have in mind to use the guma. If you don't plan to use the guma, then it's a malacha shen svicha legufa. So that's a machlekes tesis in the Orach. So the Mechaber recommends you shouldn't be mekel. He says the minigah lemiz lahakel, but he says it's not right. And the Mechaber tries to justify it a little bit. Then he says the justification is not really proper. You should not be mekel on a psikresha de la nichale. That's Simen Shimchov, Sif Yutches. What's the end of the Simen? Sif Yutches. There's some Rabbanim who claim that Rabbi Soloveitchik said his mother. Rabbi Soloveitchik never was so keen about being moderate. What he said in Shia was, he once said, what if a person forgot to turn off the light in the refrigerator? And all his food is in the refrigerator. So he can't open up the door because the light's going to go on. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if you close your eyes and you open the door, so you're opening the door to open the door to the refrigerator, you assume it's usually mutta. Here it's going to be a psikresha that the light's going to go on. So if you close your eyes, you're going to have to top everything. You're not going to use, not going to get any benefit from the light. So then you make it into a psikresha la nichale, and if you have a big shas hatchak, you can rely on the shita sa'orach. But he didn't recommend the het gomer. One of the rabbanim in New Jersey tells the balabatim they don't have to bother to unscrew the bulb in the refrigerator because Rabbi Soloveitchik said that psigreshul and nichle is mutter. He never said mutter l'chatchila heta gomer. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't recommend it. It's a difficult heta. Psigreshul and nichle is a questionable heta. In fact, in the Rosh and Masech Shabbos, there's a stira between two passages in the Rosh and the same Masechta in two different prokim. How far did the Aruch go? Psikresha de la nichale, he only meant it's mutter on Shabbos, or did he say it's mutter and kol haTorah kula? Because this topic of Dov Sheni Miskaben, Machlek Sabir Reb Shimon Dov Sheni Miskaben Mutter Rasa, is not only a Machlekes in Hilcha Shabbos, Machlekes in kol haTorah kula. The Gemara talks about a person carrying, let's say a person is carrying dresses on his back from one store to the other in the street. He's carrying, let's say, 20 dresses, because one store ran out of dresses, he's carrying from one to the other. And the dresses are shatnas. He's not wearing the dresses, but there's an iser of ha'aloh. There's a disser, beggar kalayin shatnas lo yala alech. You're not allowed to use a blanket. that's made from shatnez, and then there's another din of sober shatnez. Then tzemer and pishtim, not allowed to do levisha on shatnez, and not allowed to do ha'aloh on shatnez. So the Gemara says ha'aloh is only usur if it's ha'aloh sheyesh b'hanoh, if he benefits. So let's say he's going to go in the winter; it's freezing outside. So when he's going to carry the 20 dresses on his back, he's happy because he knows it's going to keep him warmer. It's freezing outside. It's below freezing. So he's happy. So that's ha'aloh. It's not levisha. He's not wearing the dresses. It's ha'aloh, sheyesh b'hanoh. That's also. Or let's say it's the middle of the summer and the sun is beating down and he can get a sunstroke. It's going to be so hot. So he's going to carry the dresses in such a way to protect himself from the sun. So the dresses are leaning on his body. So that's ha'aloh, sheyesh b'hanoh. Hanoh protecting me from the overheating, or protecting me from the cold. I'm not sure what the weather is like outside. I'm wearing a coat. It's a winter time. I don't know how freezing it is. I don't know if I need the dresses to keep me warmer, or I don't need the dresses. So the Gemara calls that Adov Sheinu Miskaven. He's going to carry he's interested in transporting the dresses from one store to the other, because the other store ran out of dresses. In this store, they have extra. So I'm interested in carrying a dress. Carrying dresses from one store to the other is not a problem. This may or may not cause him to violate the nisr of halah sheyesh b'hanoh. He doesn't know if that's going to, but he's not really interested in that. So that's the topic of dov sheinu miskaven outside of Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara has another case. Usually when you bring a korban, you bring minchas u'miniskeyim. So you bring yayin in conjunction with a korban. So that yayin you pour down the pipes. There were pipes in the mizbech that are called the shisin. And you pour the wine down, and the wine goes into the earth. There was a big cavity below the mizbech, and all the wine went over there. And once every 70 years, they would take out all the wine, and they would empty it out, and then they would start all over again. What if a person didn't bring a korban and the yayin in conjunction with the korban, the chasam, and the skan came a duber? He donates a bottle of wine. That's it. So there's one opinion in the Gemara. Gemara has a discussion in Zvachim. Yeah, the main part of a korban, you have to burn the korban on the fire, on the mizbech. So what are you going to do? You're going to take wine and pour it on the fire. It's going to extinguish the fire. Some of the wine will evaporate, and other particles of wine will extinguish the flame. So that's a pasuk. Chumash eish tamitu karal mizbech loy sichbet. Hamachaba gachelos al gabi hamizbech is loike. If you extinguish part of the fire, not only if you put out the whole fire, if you put out one coal that's burning on the mizbeach, mechaba one gachelus, you already like it. So the Gemara has this shaila. Hamasnad of yayin, he donates a korban. The whole korban consists of yayin. So you can't pour it down the shisin. You have to pour it on the fire. Got to pour it on the fire, it's going to cause kibun. The Gemara says, do it in a fashion that it should be adob sheni miskabin. Mizalfa agabi ha'ishin. Sprinkle it. Droplets at a time on top of the flame, so it may or may not extinguish the flame. He's really interested in sprinkling the wine, has a whole bottle of wine. He wants to sprinkle the wine on the flames, that the flame should cause the wine to evaporate. He's not interested in extinguishing any in the flame. That's a lav. He doesn't want to do the lav, but he knows in advance it may or may not happen. So the Gemara said, that should be a machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon, where the dov sheinu miskaven is mutter or ratzer. The machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon is in Kol HaTorah Kula, not just in Shabbos and Yom Tov, but when you get to Malacha, it's by Shatnes, it's by Esh Tametuk Al HaMizbech, it's by Misaris Behema, Misaris Ba'alechayim, by other Isurim. So the Orach is of the opinion. So the Gemara says, Dov Sheinu Miskaven Paskin is Mutter. The Rishonim all Paskin Mutter. Rabbi Yankin Fendon came up with he disagreed. Yankin Fendon was an original thinker. Rabbi Yankin Fendon has a commentary on Mishnayos. So he writes on Beitza on Mishnayos and Beitza. He thinks all the Rishonim are wrong, and that we should only paskin Dov Sheinu Miskaven Mutter on Yontif, and on Shabbos Dov Sheinu Miskaven should be awesome. Where did he get this from? A Gemara Sanhedrin on Pei Gimel. The Gemara raises such a possibility, but everybody else assumes that it was rejected. So the Rabbi Yankin Fendon wrote in his Murk, not in Murk, in his commentary on Mishnayos. So he writes, he thinks that we should only be mekel dov sheinu miskaven on Yom Tov, because it's only anisa lav. But on Shabbos, that it's anisa koris and anisa skila, then we should be machmer that dov sheinu miskaven is also. But none of the Rishonim say like that. We assume dov sheinu miskaven is mutter, and Shabbos mutter and kol haTorah kulam. But if it's a psik reishei, then it's asa. So what if it's a psikresha de la nichalei? So there are two versions in the Rosh. In one place, the Rosh says that the Orach was only mekal on psikresha de la nichalei in Hilchas Shabbos because malachas marshevis asra Torah. So if it's la nichalei, so it's a lack of malachas marshevis. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, if it's a psikresha even la nichalei, it'll still be asa. And the other Rosh, both in the same Masechta, but in two different the 24 prokim in Masechta Shabbos. That's a Pella. The Rosh forgot what he wrote in one parak. The other parak, he contradicts himself both in Masechta Shabbos. So in the other place, the Rosh quotes from the Aruch that the Aruch was Mekel even Psikreshid or Nichalei, not only Hilchas Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's the question, what's the Heta based on? Well, why should you say Psikreshid or Nichalei is Mutter? And how should you distinguish between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kula? That's a whole discussion. Yeah, there's a little bit more. Okay, maybe we'll save it for next week. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says you're not allowed to take snow. These days there's a little snow, and so you're not allowed to take snow and crush it in your hands and melt it. So that's a shail. It's a midirabbanan. It's an isa derabbanan. What exactly is the isa derabbanan? So we have to discuss that. So Machlek is the Rambam and Rashi. The Mechaber writes like the Rambam. The Rambam puts coats it in Simon Shinchov that it looks like Schita, just like you're not allowed to squeeze Zeisim Anovim and he said the Raisa. So it looks as if I'm squeezing, you're not really squeezing the water that was absorbed in the snow. You're melting the snow. But it looks like Schita, so that's why it's awesome. So that's why it's in Simon Shinchov. And Rashi has a totally different shot. But there are two ways to read the Rashi. So maybe we'll save that for next week. This coming Shabbos is Parshas Truma. Ben Chaschina has an interesting comment that we have Psukim in the Chumash where the expression Lifnei Hashem appears. And in different places it appears with three different connotations. It says in the beginning of Vayikra, V'shochet es ben habaka Lifnei Hashem, Yaptashecht ola karbonis in the Azara. So what is Lifnei Hashem? Shochet es ben habaka Lifnei Hashem in the Azara. Then it says in Tehillim, V'chatzotzos v'kol shofar, Hariyu Lifnei HaMelech Hashem. Whenever one is in the presence of Hashem, Lifnei Hashem, whenever you blow shofar, you should blow chatzotzos. Whenever you blow chatzotzos, you should blow shofar. So on a Tainus Sibur, you blow chatzotzos, and on Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar. So that's Bigvulet. But by Migdosh, both on a Tainus Sibur and on Rosh Hashanah, you have to blow both shofar and chatzotzos. On Rosh Hashanah, the Iker is the shofar. So the shofar is Be'emtza, and the two chatzotzos are min atzdodim. And they blow both simultaneously. They blow all three simultaneously. And on a Tainus Sibur, the Iker is the chatzotzos. So you have the chatzotzos in the middle, and the two shofars on the side, because the more important one should be in the middle. So the Gemara says, Baharabayis, that was the practice. One of the Tanoim wanted to introduce this practice of blowing chatzotzos simultaneously with the shofar after the Churban Habayis outside of Yerushalayim, and they told him, no, the Amar Kenele Baharabayis Bilvad, only in the Harabayis you do, because the Pasuk of Tehillim says, B'chatzotzos V'kol Shofar, Ariya Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, only Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, only in the Harabayis. So you see, the Harabayis is called Lefnei Hashem. Then the Menchas Chena points out, there's a third Pasuk that says, V'chalt Hashem Lefnei HaShem Lekech HaMaisa D'gan Chavisarash Chavitzarecha, you should eat Lefnei HaShem Lekech HaMaisa Sheni, and Kochim Kalim, V'chorez B'chor Chavitzarecha, where do you eat Maisa Sheni, and Kochim Kalim in Yerushalayim? So you see that all of Yerushalayim is called Lefnei Hashem. So the answer is, they all, it's not a stira. The term Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis HaMikdash, and there are different levels of Beis HaMikdash. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the highest level in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mishnah, in the first parak in Kelim. It says, Eser Kedusha Sein. There are 10 levels of Kedusha HaMikdash. The highest level of Kedusha HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein HaBadim. And then going down a little bit, you have the rest of the Heichal. In front of the Paroiches has a slightly lower level of Kedusha. Then you have the Ulam. Then you have Bein Hula Ulam Mizbeach. Then you have the Azara. Then you have the Ezas Yisrael. The Bnei Yisrael can only go the first 11 Amas and the Azara. After that, it's called the Ezas Kohanim. But it's a Chumim Midrabbanu. We don't allow Azar to walk past the first 11 Amas. Minatar, the whole Azara is all the same thing. Sofen and the Azara is more important than Dorim. But the first 11 Amis and the rest of the Azar, that's only a difference between the Rabbah. And then you have Ezra Snoshim is a lower level. Ezra Snoshim in the Beis HaMikdash doesn't have Kedushas Hazor, only has Kedushas Harabayis. Rashi writes in a few places in the Gemara, the reason why the Chachamim were never Mekadosh the Ezras Noshim, because any yeshiva b'Azor, Ela l'malchet b'zdobel b'vad, you're not allowed to sit in the Azor. If a Kohen does the Avodah in the Azor in a sitting position, he does Avodah Yoshev, so the Avodah is possible, you have to repeat it. Because the Pasuk in Chumash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the kind of Kibbom Baruch HaShem La'amad L'shar So L'baruch B'shmai. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them La'amad L'shar So. The Avodah has to be done by Amida. So if the Kohen does the Avodah of Kabbalah Halach HaZrika, he's going to do it in a sitting position, the whole Avodah is possible, you have to do it over again. But aside from that din, that the Avodah is Mechulelis, if you do it in the yeshiva in a sitting position, there's another din, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azor, Ela L'malchei Bez Dolo L'vad. No one's allowed to sit in the Azor unless he's a descendant, unless he's the Melech from the Malchei Bez Dolo. That's the question, whether that Isa, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azor, L'malchei Bez Dolo L'vad, is that a din d'araisa? Where's the Pasuk in Chumash? Rashi in one place writes that it's Allah from Moshe B'Sina. Another place Rashi writes that it's a Chumra Midrabbanan. So whatever it is, but there is such a din, even if it's only Midrabbanan. So the women are often nursing and pregnant, and then today the women have prenatal pills and postnatal pills that are healthier than the husbands. But in the days of the Tanaim, before they had all of these healthy medications, so the women would often be knocked out because they were pregnant or they were nursing, so they would be exhausted. So it would be a bit tircha to expect all of the women to stand when they come to the Beis Hamikdash. So that's why they were makel on the women. They were never mekadosh the Ezras Noshim mekedushas Hazorah. So they were allowed to sit. It only has kedushas Harabais. So then the Mishnah continues. The Esek Kedusha, 10 levels of kedushas. The highest level of kedushas Beis Hamikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lower, a little lower is the Heichal. Lower is the Ulam, and the room in front of the Heichal. Lower is Bein Hulam Olam Mizbeach. Then the rest of the Hazorah. Then the Ezras Yisrael, the first 11 Amas in Nazar, then the Ezras Noshim, and the different parts of Harabais, until it says, Ayoras HaMakafus Chayma and Eretzel have a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash, and all of Eretzel has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. Eretzel has a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's unrelated to the Beis HaMikdash, but that's what Menachem Zenb explains that, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik also explained, the same shot. The Mishnah in Kalim says, Esek Dusha saying, Eretzel Mekudesh is Mikol HaRofush and Mevim Imena HaOymer Ishtei Alechem. Oymer on Pesach and Ishtei Alechem and Shavuos has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Why they quote such an obscure din that no one ever heard of? Why aren't they right? Eretzel Mekudesh is Mikol HaRosa that Yechayv in Shumas and Maises Lekem Shikha Be'er Shmita V'yoyvo. Why they pick these two dinim that no one ever heard of? So the answer is, Eretzel has Kedusha Sa'aretz, that's Chayv in the Mitzvah of Tavliyas Baretz, that's Kedusha Sa'aretz Yisrael. The Mishnah wants to prove that Eretzel, all of Eretzel has a lower level of Kedusha Sa'amigdosh, just like over here, Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, what the Minchas Chinuch pointed out, Lifnei Hashem has a connotation of in the Beis Hamikdash, but there are different levels of Lifnei Hashem. The Shachad is Ben Abok, Lifnei Hashem is the Azara. Shechitas Karbonus has to be in the Azara. B'chatzoyts is called Shofar Yilifnei HaMelech Hashem is not only in the Azor, even in the Harabayis. V'chal Toshon Lefnei Hashem Alakecha Ma'aseh Diroshcha Diroshcha Ma'aseh Digoncha Diroshcha V'yitzarecha, that's in all of Yerushalayim. So the Lefnei Hashem means different levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, all Ayoros HaMakaf Eschaim have a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash, and all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash. But that Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha Sa'aretz, that's a separate din. That's a separate din. So that's why the Mishnah only gives these two dinim, Shenevim Mena Oymer Shtelechem, the Oymer Shtelechem have to have been grown in the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't allow people to plant anything. That means wherever you planted it in Eretz Yisrael, that's as Kedusha HaMikdash. So all the Esek Kedushas, all the 10 levels of Kedusha, are 10 levels of Kedusha HaMikdash. Yeah, the Ramban writes in the Hakdamah to Chumash Mos, in the old Chumashim, it's printed in the end of Aichi, but it really in the new Chumashim now they print it in the beginning of Chumash Mos. The Ramban writes that the Sefer Shmos is the Sefer Hagolus Arishayna VaHagula Mimena. It starts with the Golus Mitzrayim and it ends with the Geula. So then the Rabban asked, wait a minute, it ends with the Gula. Even when they get to the end of Shmos, Bnei Yisrael didn't return back to Eretz Yisrael until after the Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's in Sefer Yoshua. Even when you get to the end of the Chumash, he still didn't return to Eretz Yisrael. Ramban says that's the main tragedy of going into Golus, is not so much that we're not in Eretz Yisrael. That's a tragedy also. The main tragedy is we no longer had Soda Laka Ale Ohale. We no longer had Hashvas Hashchina. It used to be when the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, Avram Yitzchak Yanki used to have Gilui Shechina, they used to have Hashvas Hashchina. When they went down to Mitzrayim, they lost that. But the end of Chumash Mos, you have Truma Tetzaba, Vayakal Tikudi, the Binyan HaMishkan, that's Hashvas Hashchina, that's the Geula. When we pray for the Geula, we're praying for the, and we say, B'nissen Nigalu, B'nissen Asidim Le'igol, what do you mean the Geula? What part is it? The Geula means the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. When they established the Medina in Eretz Yisrael 1948, so they quote from the Chazon Ish that he said, this is the end of the Golus, but they still don't have the Gula. So people thought that it was double talk. It's not double talk. The end of the Golus, all the Jews all over the world can come to Eretz Yisrael now. The British are not preventing the Jews any longer from coming to Eretz Yisrael. The Jews are in charge of Eretz Yisrael. They welcome all the Jews from all over the world, but it's not yet the Gula. The Gula is only when you build the Beis HaMikdash. That's our tradition has it. The Psukim say Yecheskel, lost in love. It doesn't say which year. It says, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they will bring the Karbonis in the new Beis HaMikdash, in the Bais HaShlishi. That's what it means. B'Nissan Asin Lehigoyal. The Binya Beis HaMikdash will be completed in the month of Nissan. So that's the book of Shmos ends with the returning of Hashuas HaShchina. We had again Sora Laka, Ale Olein, with the building of the Mishkan. That's the Gula. Okay, so next week, believe me, we'll start with the squeezing snow. What exactly did Rashi say? Why are you not allowed to squeeze the snow? Okay. So we'll have a healthy week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yashikach.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Good.